broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, and happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for June the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide, and we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth using the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Founding Fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. Dr. Scott Bradley back with me this hour. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. And I hope you had a delightful weekend, sir. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. And the weekends are far too short. And although they do come fairly regularly, I mean, the way the time is accelerating, I think the Lord is doing it to kind of say, look, we got to get through this whole program before all the wheels fall off, you know.
Whoa, no doubt about it. Speaking of the wheels falling off, welcome to Juneteenth, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I know it's not the 10th at all, it's the 20th. But they say Juneteenth is now a federal holiday in the United States, supposedly commemorating the emancipation of enslaved African Americans, ladies and gentlemen. And they say that it marks the announcement of proclaiming freedom for slaves in Texas. They say Juneteenth is also known as Freedom Day. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, it is controversial as all get out. Let's dig in. They say Juneteenth celebrations emphasize racial disparities. They say ending them. But I'm not so sure that's right, ladies and gentlemen, when you think about it. Dr. Bradley.
Well, we probably ought to look at a little bit of backstory on this to begin with. I mean, there's so many things that are part of this whole issue that are actually bringing about a greater divisiveness, in my opinion. We're balkanizing the United States. That's kind of a term from the old Yugoslavian situation where they had so many religious and ethnic disparities and differences and arguments and everything that they ended up falling apart. The wheels fell off the whole thing. And again, all this effort to divide and ultimately conquer is Marxist in its origins and its methodology. And so the way we're going about this is not bringing us together. It's not causing people to say, wow, yeah, look at my black neighbors. They're cool. We're cool. Everybody's cool. We can get a hamburger together, whatever, you know. It just seems to divide and ultimately conquer. It's really interesting. Some of these things are contrived and they're manipulated by the racists that are still doing race baiting. I mean, you look at Kwanzaa, for example. This is a celebration of African Christmas commemorations, but it's not. It was created by a Marxist, radical leftist based it upon Marxist principles. I mean, it's just so weird how things are foisted upon us today. And I'm not particularly opposed to commemorating, celebrating, and rejoicing in, you know, all sorts of the things that have made people unique and interesting throughout history. I mean, there's a great cultural exchange that can happen on these kinds of things and everything like that. But the way we go about it, I think, really undermines the unity of the nation. You know, you think about how George Washington talked in his farewell address about how we were united. We were with slight shades of difference. And you say shades. Oh, that's color. No, there's shades of difference in so many ways. You know, their religious beliefs and their regional understanding of things and so on. And yet we were unified. And what's going on nowadays is oftentimes contradictory to that. And you know, the kind of the backstory, if you will, and maybe you were going to get into this, but back in January 1st of 1863, Abraham Lincoln, you know, basically published the proclamation, Emancipation Proclamation. And people say, oh, yeah, the great emancipator. No, he wasn't. He really wasn't. Lincoln had made lots of statements. In fact, probably some of the most racist statements I've ever heard in my life were made by him. And he talked about how, oh, if I could free all the slaves and save the Union, I would. If I could free none of them, I would. If I freed part of them and part of them not, yeah, I would. And he absolutely, the basis of what he was doing, in his mind at least, it seemed, was not slave-based. But the war was not going well for the Union. They couldn't seem to buy a victory. And they needed another tactic in war, and that's exactly what was published on the 1st of January of 1863, an Emancipation Proclamation. And the wording, intent was so different than what people present today. It was basically, if the South truly had withdrawn from the Union, which they were absolutely confident they had, they'd written a new constitution, they were a new country. If Lincoln came out and said, okay, all you guys that are in that part that broke off from us, all the slaves in that part of the world are free. And it's kind of like somebody today saying, okay, all you guys in the Middle East, all the slaves in your country are free, and the United States proclaiming it. I mean, it was a different country, different president, different leadership, everything. But not one slave was freed in what was continued to be what they called the Union States. And there are quite a number of states that that slavery was still legal. And in fact, until basically December of 1865, which is the ratification of the 13th Amendment, there were still a couple of slave states in the North, if you will. I think it was Kentucky and Delaware, if I remember correctly. But Lincoln's proclamation didn't free one slave. It was a tactic that the intent was to create a fifth column, another military force within the southern states that would distract away from the effort to, you know, protect against the Union invasion, if you will. Because up to that point, it had been a Union invasion of the South. The people in the South felt they were protecting their, you know, homeland, their states, and everything else like that. And what's interesting, though, is that the war really changed. And I this is a dynamic we could talk about sometime, maybe, Sam. But I think the dynamic of the war changed when Lee took the war outside of that defensive position and invaded the North and went into Pennsylvania in July of 1863. And I think that's what changed the dynamic to the point that the South, from there forth, didn't really prevail. But anyway, that's a side trip. But the fact of the matter is, Lincoln's proclamation was a tactic of war, and it didn't free any slaves. And basically, as the war went on and the Union conquered different areas of the South, that's when they said, okay, you guys that are in, you know, this rebellious area, all you slaves are free. And so when I believe his name was General Granger, Gordon Granger sticks in my mind. But at any rate, when he came into Galveston, Texas in June of 1863, or 65, after Appomattox and the April surrender of Lee to Grant. Granger came into Texas, which was kind of way down the pike in terms of how much involved it was in the nation, came into Texas in June of 1865. He basically said, okay, all you guys are free now. So that's the Juneteenth. It was June 19th. He put out a general order that says, okay, everybody's free here that was a slave. And so that was the origins, if you will, of the Juneteenth, June 19th, 1865. And it's been celebrated or commemorated, I don't know how you'd put it, in many occasions since, in different states and regions and areas. But in June of last year, I think it was, 2021, Biden signed a proclamation that says, okay, this is now a federal holiday, and that's why today is a federal holiday. Some states have adopted that too, including our home state of Utah, as being a state holiday. But it's interesting to me that we have all of these kind of interesting cultural celebrations, if you will, and if that's the way it is, it's interesting. Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May, celebrates a Mexican victory over French forces back in 1862 in Mexico. It's a bigger event in the United States. I mean, they sell more beer probably for that than they do in the Super Bowl era. I don't know. But St. Patrick's Day in March. I've got a really good friend that's Irish, and he's now become an American citizen. But he always used to say to me, I don't know what's with you Americans. I mean, in Ireland, St. Patrick's Day is not a big deal. But for some reason, people consider a lot of these things as being a very significant kind of thing. And sometimes we build them into something more perhaps than they are. We mentioned Kwanzaa a little while ago, and it was a totally made up event, holiday, commemoration. Like I say, it didn't even exist in the 1950s. No, and it wasn't in Africa. So,
amen, ladies and gentlemen. When we get back, we'll talk more about this, though, because I want to highlight, you know, we used to have days that were for all Americans. But the supposition is we jettison all American holidays for literally ethnic-centric holidays. I'll explain in seconds. Liberty Roundtable, live.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Dr. Scott Bradley with us. FreedomsRisingSun.com to learn about his collegiate series to preserve the nation and to check out his weekly webinars and more. FreedomsRisingSun.com. All right, we're talking about Juneteenth. It's now a, quote, U.S. holiday, but I'm calling it a day of division marked by controversy. You say, Sam, why would you do that? Well, there's all kinds of problems. Everybody has a problem with a day. And the biggest problem I have with these days, you know what? I get it. I'm for rejecting slavery. I don't believe in slaves of any kind for any reason. But ladies and gentlemen, look, we obliterate Father's Day on Sunday, and then Monday, Juneteenth, even though it was supposed to be yesterday's the celebration, but you get the federal holiday off. You don't for fathers, but you do for Juneteenth. And I believe if you want to restore America, one of the things that you need to do is bring fathers back. But I digress. We've taken now George Washington's birthday holiday or whatever else to celebrate his leadership, and his, we've morphed that into President's Day. Now we have Kwanzaa. Now we have Juneteenth. We now have, you know, President's Day. We've got Martin Luther King Day. We're literally jettisoning every holiday that used to bring people together in humble gratitude and appreciation for those who have gone before. And we're making every now day a divisive holiday. The debates rage, not only amongst the whites, but the blacks as well. Okay, for example, what they say is, hey, this is a horrible day. You know why? Because the white people get the day off. The black people, the poorer class, they all still have to work. Some states recognize the day. Other states don't. The states that don't, they're racist. They're not willing to look at the past. What a hypocrisy it is to celebrate or honoring Juneteenth while at the same time condemning critical race theory. All I'm telling you is that we have replaced all the days that brought everybody together in America with these controversial issues that will never go away with the trajectory we're on, Dr. Bradley.
Well, it is absolutely divisive, I believe, and it is meant to separate. And it's, as we talk so often on your show, it's a Marxist approach to cause conflict that disrupts society, and ultimately in the turmoil that ensues, the hope is, and it's been proven effective throughout the years, that Marxism ultimately throws its cast of tyranny upon the whole world. It's so interesting that the race baiters use this thing. In fact, there's a movement among some, and I don't know as I can say, attribute this to any percentage or anything, but some would like to basically replace July 4th, you know, Independence Day, with Juneteenth as the new Independence Day.
Now,
if you will.
even Joe Biden called it Independence Day.
Yeah.
To make your point.
There's a movement doing that, and to your point about how this is destroying the foundation of everything. Again, it's Marxist in its origins, and those that are playing this out. And what's really fascinating to me is that you remember the I Have a Dream speech that Martin Luther King gave. And there's kind of an interesting backstory to that someday we'll have to talk about, too. But the fact of the matter is he talked about, you know, he's dreaming about this time when his kids are not going to be judged by the color of their skin, but by their quality of their character. And all of these things we do that divide. I mean, we're in the middle of June. I mean, it's Pride Month, you know, for those that are kind of confused about sexual orientation and stuff like that. It's always and constantly, it's in your face, and we're going to, you know, conquer and divide and all this kind of stuff. And I know of a young man, for example, he was, at the time I knew him, a young captain in the Air Force, a bright, intelligent, articulate young man that loved this country and everything like that. And when they were doing the Black Pride Month on his Air Force base, he went to the AAEO, you know, Affirmative Action Equal Opportunity group on the base, and said, you know, and they were all, it was entirely staffed by people a different color than him, okay? I don't think there was somebody with a white skin in the entire office. And he went in and he says, you know what, if we're going to do a Pride month for black, why don't we do one for white? And what he got was a big horse laugh. I mean, it was like, are you kidding? First thing you got to find is something that you could be proud of that white people have done. I mean, he was just laughed out of the office. And he said, no, really, you know, if we're going to do this, we ought to start recognizing some of the accomplishments of other people. And if you want to do it by race, let's do a white one. No, couldn't do that. There was nothing, absolutely zero that the office was willing to recognize as some kind of contribution that people of the white race, you know, an Anglo-Saxon, you know, male Protestant religion, whatever, I don't know what you want to call, but they laughed him out of the office, and he kind of kept pressing it. His 06, his colonel, this bird colonel that he worked for, actually court-martialed him and pressed forward with a dishonorable discharge ultimately, and there's a process you have to go through according to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is kind of uniform, but not quite, and there's certainly no justice in it normally. But at any rate, The UCMJ says you do this in order to get somebody out with a dishonorable discharge. But what his colonel did was gave him a direct order not to pursue it, and he continued, and so that he violated a direct order. At any rate, that was the kind of divisiveness that it brought to a military base. And it's like I absolutely astounding to me that we have spun this in such a manner that all of these white Anglo-Saxon guys that gave us the Declaration and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and fought in the Revolutionary War and fought in the Civil War, if you will, to ultimately and finally, and this wasn't the only cause, purpose, and reason for the Civil War, the slavery thing, ultimately, though, was stopped. The intention of the founders had really been, and you can read the 42nd Federalist Paper, for example. You can read the words of guys like George Mason and some of the other founders that were at the Constitution Convention, like James Madison. Their absolute intent was to get rid of slavery. And we've talked about how there had to be a step process to allow that to happen. But no, none of this stuff has any recognition. And if you can continue to divide and make fragments and you bring in, you know, illegals that are well-schooled in socialism and a welfare state in their home countries, it's going to more center that and strengthen it here in this country. And there's divide and conquer. And like I mentioned earlier, back in the old Yugoslavian situation where the Balkanization occurred, ultimately and finally the wheels fell off. And they hated each other's guts to the point that there was constant warfare. It was eternal war. Horrible depredations occurred. And I really think that that's what a lot would like to see happen in this country. And we see a lot of people facilitating this.
Well, there's no question. I don't know if you know, but there's Black History Month, which you've heard about for a long time. But did you know there's Black Music Month as well?
And there's also Black financial investment stuff. I mean, I see these stupid
commercials. Do you realize that June is Black Music Month?
I didn't know that. I mean, you
know
what?
You know, sir.
Black music, I'll tell you what. One time my wife and I were at a bed and breakfast. There's not a whole lot to talk about this. But, you know, a bed and breakfast, you had a, you know, you sit down at tables with people you never met before and have an interesting conversation. There was a black couple about our age that were sitting there. We sat down at the table to have breakfast with them at this bed and breakfast and found out they were gospel singers. And, I mean, holy cow. I mean, and I have to take my hat off. I mean, there's such a passion and enthusiasm. And, I mean, it's just such a kind of a cultural
experience.
We
had some of that, huh?
Oh, man, it's some of this enthusiasm in our religious worship. But anyway, we talked to them. We had a grand discussion. And you know, the only musical instrument I can play is a stereo, and I'm just so untalented in that way. And this woman's, I could teach you how to do this. And it was kind of like, whoa, I never saw myself in that realm. But wonderful exchange of things and feelings. And yeah, the music of different cultures is so interesting to engage in, you know, and participate with. But I just don't know what's going on when these race baiters are out there playing everything up to the point that the Marxist division occurs more and more in the United States. And I think...
Well, and ladies and gentlemen, you know what? Their music stands on its own. I agree. Their singing, a lot of it is incredible. Their involvement in athletics stands on its own. Okay, we don't need just to take away from everybody. And so pretty soon, you know, when you think about all the different divisions... Every single month, we'll have a division month. Blacks and whites, gays and straights, whatever the issue is, they'll divide over it. In America, though, we don't have these divisions. As you just heard, Dr. Bradley and his wife and a black couple sat down together and had lunch, breakfast or whatever. It was great. But the folks who want to destroy America want to just divide for 2 months, Black History Month and Black Music Month, right? Where do we go from here? Hang tight.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal have dramatically raised their probability of a recession, now putting it at 44% in the next year. It should be noted this level is only seen on the edge of an actual recession. French President Emmanuel Macron's centrist coalition could lose its majority in the country's lower parliament. Projections on Sunday showed that Macron's coalition was likely to win roughly 240 seats. That's almost 50 shy of a majority in the 577-seat National Assembly. Today is a national holiday. Juneteenth is the day when slaves learned of their Emancipation Declaration by President Lincoln 3 years earlier. On this day in 1983, Sally Ride becomes the first American woman in space. She passed away in La Jolla, California in 2012. USA Radio News.
Attention weekend gardeners, don't let insect pests destroy your hard work. Fight back with Maggie's Farm, created by pest control professionals. Maggie's Farm plant and mineral-based products provide amazingly effective insect control, like our 3-in-1 garden spray for organic gardening. Deadly on insects, but safe to use around children and pets. Or for really hard-to-kill bugs, try our new beetle and box elder bug killer. Maggie's Farm, lethal to bugs, easy on the planet. Look for Maggie's Farm at Walmart, Menards, or at maggiesfarmproducts.com.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Call 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. That's 800-631-9123.
An Apple store may unionize.
Apple employees in a Maryland store are voting to unionize. This would be a first for the company in the United States. The final vote was 65-33 in favor of joining the International Association of Machinists. The union president applauding the courage of the Apple employees for their historic victory. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Austin police are reporting a Texas gun owner defended himself and another woman from a teenager who allegedly tried to rob them at gunpoint in Austin, Texas last week. 17-year-old Jalen Reed is charged with aggravated robbery with a deadly weapon. Reed was already convicted of a series of robberies in 2021. Police say he was released from juvenile detention on May 27th. He cut off an ankle monitor 2 days later, then committed 9 robberies in 5 days. NASCAR racing was off this weekend. It will resume in Nashville, Tennessee next weekend. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. Let me make this very clear. You know what? This Juneteenth divisionary holiday is full of controversy and trouble. And the problem with it, ladies and gentlemen, is they're using the Hegelian dialectic against us all. It isn't about bringing people together. It isn't about not repeating slavery. It isn't about celebrating the freedom that people have everywhere. It's about jettisoning the history of America, the rich, sacred history, with a unique, narrow view of history from a divisionary point of view. Okay, there's no way as a white person I can celebrate Juneteenth properly. If I don't celebrate it, then I'm evil. I'm a white supremacist, whatever. If I celebrate it, then it's hypocrisy because I don't believe in their critical race theory lies. And the bottom line is there's no way that I can celebrate it, or there's no way that I can. It could be a wonderful thing for us all to celebrate freedom together. But see, they're not trying to do that. That's why you got to jettison July the 4th, which is liberty for all, including the blacks eventually got liberty as a result of the founding fathers' heroic efforts. But see, we're not doing that. What we're doing is dividing. There's no way that I can possibly do anything to redeem myself on the altar of Black History Month, on the altar of Black Music Month, on the altar of Martin Luther King Day, of Juneteenth, of all there's no way for me to ever get clear of the abuse heaped on me as a white person as a result. It doesn't matter what my thoughts are, my beliefs are. You know what? I'm at the core a racist, and there's no way to solve it. And that's really the bottom line here, Dr. Bradley.
Well, I really think we need to recenter ourselves on the founding principles and you know, this all men are created equal or by their creator. They're got these inalienable rights, and this was the intent from the beginning. And And we can, I can document that clearly through the American founding era. But let me just bring to your attention just a few lines out of George Washington's farewell address. I mean, the unity, the feeling of it just brings kind of peace to your heart and soul. This is what he wrote. He said, "Citizens by birth or choice of a common country, that country has a right to concentrate your affections. The name of American, which belongs to you in your national capacity, must always exalt the just pride of patriotism more than any appellation derived from local discriminations. With slight shades of difference, you have the same religion, manners, habits, and political principles. You have in common cause fought and triumphed together. The independence and liberty you possess are the work of joint councils and joint efforts of common dangers, suffering, and successes." I mean, he was saying, look at what we have in common. Look at what we are as a people. And what was going on oftentimes in his era still, you know, when he wrote this, there were some regional jealousies that were going on. And he takes time in his farewell address to point out that, yeah, we've got each other's backs. He talks about that. And this idea, this appellation, this, you know, that's a name title. Americans, you're Americans. This hyphenated American nonsense is balkanization of America. I mean, it's absurd to me how we have done our darndest as a people since this became such a centralized thing. And I just am in shock. And I've talked before on your show about when I was young, we used to have prayer in school every day, and we did the Pledge of Allegiance, and people say, "Oh, that's divisive. You know, a Jewish boy or a girl could give a different prayer than a Catholic boy or girl or a Mormon kid or whatever, you know." And to me, it was a cultural experience of, wow, so that's how Jews pray, or that's how Catholics pray, or whatever. You know, there was none of this, "Boy, you guys are stupid. We got a better way to pray than you." But we've gotten rid of the things that we shared together that made us kind of feel like, hey, we're all together in this thing. You know, the boat may be leaky sometimes, but we're all bailing together, you know. And I just am shocked that we're falling for this. And as you point out, if you're a white guy, forget it. You can't say anything right. I mean, but it's just not race. It's gender. It's sexual orientation. I mean, there's the bourgeois versus the proletariat. Everything that they can fracture a line on, there's a work to do that. I remember when I was a department head and director at a major university, I didn't go about this consciously to do it. I like people. And it's just the way I am. And I bring good people in, and we try to grow together, and we have a successful operation because of that. But I was looking, I probably had the most diverse organization in terms of, you know, men and women and color and all those kinds of things, religious beliefs, whatever. However they're trying to fracture us now, my organization, we were cohesive. And I was looking for an assignment to be filled, and I wanted the best person I could get. And so I was doing a national search. And, you know, so you advertise nationally and all that kind of stuff. This is more story than you probably need. But the fact of the matter is, our AAEO organization, Affirmative Action Equal Opportunity Organization, was led by a female that was extremely radicalized in her beliefs about a lot of these things we're talking about. Anyway, she came to me and said, you know, I'm saying, hey, I just want the best person I get. I don't care if they're black, brown, green, purple, orange, or what. I don't care. I don't care if it's a male or female. I just want somebody that we can work with and make this successful. Well, she came to me and she says, you know what? You're going to have to do a different ranking system. Your qualifications that you put out as qualifications, you'll never find a woman that will qualify as highly as a man will. I'm going, what? What are you talking about? There's qualified women out there. I mean, you know, we had this conversation. And she says, no, what you've got to do is you've got to draw the line far enough down on your ranked selections that incorporates women, and then you've got to hire from that group. And I'm saying, do you realize what you've done is you've said a woman cannot compete in this world? You've said, and you know, by an inference, race can't or whatever. Her belief was that you have to draw the line far enough down that you hire from a lesser qualified group. And I'm saying, no, I don't care what I get as long as we get good people. You know, and so it's really a disabling kind of thing, this attitude. You know, oh no, blacks can't qualify, so you've got to hire a lesser qualified individual. You're, by inference and by actual example, you're saying we're hiring from the lower level of qualifications, and that's racist in its origin, and it's sexist. It's just astonishing, but we're getting a nation of lessers because of the attitudes we have about these things. And, you know, it's kind of like what you say to your kids, Sam. Maybe your kids are old enough now you don't have to, but it's, why can't you kids get along? You know, when they're bickering over some stupid little thing that in the other room, you know, and you, hey, you kids, why can't you guys get along? And but we continue to foster this, and the nation is not getting any better because of it. You look at on a kind of a broad brush kind of thing, half the nation hates the other half.
And it's all the propaganda, though, that's fueling this, because as you wisely mentioned earlier, you know what? You sat down with a black couple. You learned about their musical capabilities. You were impressed by them. They were impressed by you guys. You came not knowing one another. You left as acquaintances / friends a little bit. That's how America really is. They are trying their level best to jettison that narrative. They don't want you two to sit down at that table. They don't want you to associate with one another. What they want to do is grind the face of the poor, divide everyone on any fault line they can find. That's the real goal of this agenda, and that's why we take it on. Look, I don't want slavery any more than anybody else ever does or ever would. Anybody in their right mind is against slavery. Of anybody. Okay, we're all God's children. Right?
We are, but they're still practicing it in the world. I mean,
Yes, they are. And we're not talking about that at all. We're just talking about how Sam's a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's a white supremacist. Okay, this is the problem. And so I spend so much time on this because we've really got to understand. I'm for independence. I'm for celebrating independence. But do I do the July 4th thing or the, you know, Juneteenth thing? See, well, July 4th one is a white man's holiday, see? The Juneteenth one is a black man's holiday, you see? And now we're going to have this contest showdown. Which one's going to be the fair one, the good one, the right one in America? And I'm saying, can't we just celebrate independence for all of us?
Yeah. Well, that's the problem we're in the middle of right now, and we're falling in a trap that have been used by the Marxists. I mean, in modern history, you can go back to the French Revolution and look at the divide and conquer kind of mentality. And while they changed it's monarchy they were trying to overthrow. Now it's society in general. You know, we put everybody against everybody. It's horrible. We got to
get it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds. I'm Sam Bushman with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
The CDC just reported that 7,218 people died after receiving a COVID-19 shot. Granted, vaccines are a complicated concoction of chemicals, and as with any medical experiment, it can take a long time to get it right. This is not the first time people have been hurt when vaccinated. What is different this time, and so concerning, is the reaction to these death numbers. Let me explain. In 1976, the government vaccinated 45 million people for swine flu. A total of 53 people died after getting that shot, and the U.S. government immediately halted the vaccination program. Why? Because authorities decided it was too much of a risk. Why would they halt the program back then for 53 deaths, but now, with over 7,000 deaths, they are using every method possible to force it on you? In fact, now the health authorities are using their power to silence anyone who dares to question the COVID vaccination. Why? Why is anyone that questions COVID silenced? Even doctors are being censored. What's up with that?
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley. I don't want to just keep talking about this forever, but we made our points, I think, very, very, very clear. Look, we all want to work together as God's children. We all want liberty. We all want freedom. I believe that people at their core want the same things. They want to love. They want to be loved. They want respect. They want to be respected. They want to be left alone and be free. I think everyone shares that, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm convinced they're using these agendas. Celebrating everything under the sun is really a wedge to divide. And that we've got to jettison, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to be wise enough to back away from their tyrannical designs and stand for God, family, and country as the children of God Almighty and the sons and daughters of liberty, if you will. All right, the Food and Drug Administration authorizes COVID shots for kids under five. They say the final step will be the CDC approval, but CDC recommends COVID-19 shots for children as young as 6 months, clearing the way for vaccinations to begin soon, Dr. Bradley. So what I find interesting about this is the FDA and the CDC both double down and say yes. So the shots are going to start right away. But Senator and Dr. Rand Paul highlighted this reality with Dr. Fauci. No studies, no data, no evidence. But they're still recommending injecting our children with a booster shot. All right. Dr. Fauci literally admits no study. Back COVID boosters or COVID shots for kids at all. Pressed on the safety and the efficacy of the vaccines, Dr. Anthony Fauci admitted there were no studies to support the claim that it would reduce death or hospitalization for children at all. Paul asked Fauci if he could cite any studies that showed COVID shots reduced hospitalizations or death for children. Fauci could not. He said, right now there's not enough data. So there's no studies, and Americans should all know this, says Rand Paul. Dr. Bradley, I don't even know how to respond to this. We're literally going headlong into a mass child vaccination programs with no study, no evidence. No. I don't even understand it. We have gone insane, doctor.
You know, the battle cry, follow the science, follow the science. Well, I'm putting the scientific science by. You know what? Anybody that's willing to do that is silenced. There is no science. I mean, that's a blanket statement that can be made unequivocally. There are no studies, as Dr. Paul points out. But there were no studies when they put these things out for adults and whomever they started to hit on. There was no studies for efficacy. There was no study for safety. I mean, the most they studied them, if you will, was days. Most of you observe, you give the shot, you watch them for 15 minutes. If they don't keel over dead, it must be safe. This program has been put out as a by guess and by golly thing from the very beginning of it. It's a new, unproven technology, and there has never been one of these programs that has been brought to fruit that's been proven successful. Fauci tried for decades, literally, to fight the AIDS, HIV kind of thing. They came up with Remdesivir under that old program for a response to some of this. It's a extremely expensive response. It's thousands of dollars for a treatment versus less than $10 for a treatment with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. And then they've got these new ivermectin kind of wannabes that are out there. Every single thing has been done with the idea of, well, you know, we can patent this. We can make more money on that. Stuff that's beyond patent that you can't, you can buy, you know, over the counter basically around the world, most of the stuff that has a better effective rate than anything they've proven with any of this new stuff. But the FDA, the CDC, the pharma industry, it's a revolving door, incestuous relationship. And, you know, you can read in, what is it, the 18th chapter of Leviticus about how the Lord feels about incest. You know, that's maybe a little bit of a stretch for talking about the medical practices. But, yeah, it is a revolving door. You go from industry into the FDA. You go from the FDA into the CDC. You go from the CDC back to the FDA. Or any one of those networking kinds of things. And this stuff that's going on, it's driven by dollars. There is not a shred of evidence that you could say, yes, indeed, it is truly safe and effective. Because they just don't have any studies that indicate that. And they're rushing into this thing for little tiny children. These are complicated concoctions of chemicals, and the babies that are their pure little bodies that are designed by God as a magnificent system of to bring about so many wonderful, magnificent things. We don't know what it's going to do to them or to, you know, teenagers or to middle-aged people. We just don't know.
But they
know.
Say the risks outweigh.
What risks?
I'm sorry. They say that the rewards outweigh the risks.
Outweigh the risks.
How do you know that risks? If you don't have any studies, though? How do you know that? I don't understand
you
that.
You don't.
At all.
You can't. And you say risk. I mean, you know, I had a conversation the other day with a physician, and we don't need to go into the depth and breadth. Sometimes there's just so many cool things we could talk about. But this physician was talking about some medical procedures that are relatively low risk, and I admit they are. But the risk that faces children, statistically what we've had right now, statistically virtually zero children have died from COVID, now, unless they had these other comorbidities that were killing them anyway, things that were, they probably would have died anyway, and that sounds like a kind of a crass and cold thing to say. But if you take a normal, healthy child, the chances of them dying of a COVID thing, virtually zero. I mean, it is so close to zero. I mean, there's probably more probability of the moon crashing into the earth this year than there is for probability of these other things. I mean, sure, if there's a problem or a possibility, everybody's going, well, yeah, it's possible. It's possible the moon could crash into the earth. It's probably not going to happen, though. But they make all of these... When I first started my graduate work in college, I was compelled, against my better judgment and will and interest, to take a statistics class. And I had a very irreverent young professor at the time, and he his required reading was How to Lie with Statistics. Well, that was one of his required books. It's not in print anymore. Maybe you can get it on Amazon as an old book or something now. But at any rate... his intention was not to teach us how to lie with statistics, but to prove that you can lie using a statistical analysis if you choose to spin it the way you want. And another professor I had for a couple of classes was he was an absolute Marxist. There's no getting around it. And we used to have extended discussions out in the parking lot after class. He took the one position and I took an opposite one. I could guarantee we were on opposite universes. But I asked him one day, I said, so if you're doing some kind of scientific review and you find evidence that contradicts the theorem that you're trying to prove, what do you do with it? He says, I throw it out.
What?
You throw it out? What do you mean? I mean, you have a preconceived notion of how this is going to come out, and you're going to prove it by guess or by golly or by hook or by crook, because you discard data that contradicts your theory. And that, I believe, is happening constantly in this continuum that we're on with the vaccines. And we have these people that developed them that want to hide for decades. No, 75 years. It'll be two generations away before you got the information out that they discovered. And they were compelled to begin to release it. And I don't think they're releasing it nearly fast enough. But the fact of the matter is, the stuff that's coming out demonstrates it is not safe or effective, and all they've been is a marketing ploy on us. But and these studies they did with this mRNA stuff with animals previously, where all of the creatures that were injected with this stuff ultimately died when they were exposed to the virus that they were supposedly trying to eradicate. It just caused it blew them up. Well, it didn't literally blow them up, but literally it caused their deaths because of it. That's been the experience of mRNA. Let's just go back to racism thing for just a second. I got to tell you about a physician conversation I had back when they were experimenting on these things. You know what he told me? He told me that he was anxiously awaiting the experimentation that was being done in Africa and Asia on the people there before he could get the injection for the COVID. And I'm saying, I can't really express on the radio in the fullness of my disdain for that attitude. They are using human guinea pigs that are a different color than this guy was to prove that he could take it without any real threat of danger to him. They're sacrificing people of a different color skin, brown babies and black babies and young people, wherever around the world, so that he could have his little concoction that he felt had been adequately tested on the appropriate guinea pigs. You know, I've been one of those guinea pigs, by the way, back on March 6, 1970, when I was in processing to a base. We had to get an injection. We were the first human beings that had been tried on. That's what they told us. They wouldn't tell us what it was for or what it was supposed to do or anything like that, but we were the first human beings that had been tried on. I tell people we were the closest thing to human flesh they could find without actually using real humans. But I had an adverse reaction to that, months that it affected me. And I still believe to this day I have residual challenges. But the fact of the matter is, what are we thinking? What are we doing? And we say science is involved? No, it's more like Mengele's and his.
Well, and Ron DeSantis is the only governor in the State of the Union. In other words, out of 50 states, Ron DeSantis is the only one that says, look, we're not going along with this. We're not ordering any of these vaccines. We're against it. We're not doing it. There's no studies. There's no evidence. Ron DeSantis agrees with Rand Paul, and he says we're not stopping people from having the vaccines if they want to. We're just not endorsing it and or funding it or promoting it at all in our state. The only state to do so, Dr. Bradley.
Well, I take my hat off to that kind of, verbalization of this. But I do know for a fact that Ron DeSantis signed a bill that the written document, now this was already in the law. Okay, so it wasn't a new part of the bill, but Ron DeSantis signed it saying, it already said it in there, the state can by compulsion vaccinate people. And if I'd been governor, I would have said, give me a clean bill, take that out, and we'll sign this. But he didn't. But I think his position on this is fairly clear right now. I hope it doesn't change. We just need more that will stand up to this.
Amen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Let's celebrate that we're God's children, and let's work together. You know what? We can start with civility. And over time, maybe with education and humility and turning to God, we can have unity. Our prayer is for liberty, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we advocate for and do our best to promote God, family, and country. Dr. Bradley's website, freedomsrisingsun.com, libertyroundtable.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.